Good morning and welcome to 10 minutes of refreshing moments by the host John Gora. I hope you enjoy. What I really need you to get is, like, first of all, I'll give you a short story. Back then, when we were in primary school, we used to walk like 3 kilometers away from home, back and forth. At times you wake up very early in the morning, like 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning. There's nothing to eat. There's nothing called breakfast. We didn't even know it. We were not even talking about it because it's something that is not basic, okay? So the thing is, you would have been at least lucky to have some leftovers when you eat your dinner. Maybe you ate potatoes or you ate cassavas or you ate rice. So that is what is left there for you maybe to grab in the morning and eat it while it's when it's cold, then walk your 3 kilometers to school. You know, at school you'll have to attend the lessons from 8 o'clock until 12 o'clock, whereby you have some separated 2 breaks in between before lunch break. And then at lunchtime you have again to walk back home the 3 kilometers, and this time you'll have to run because you have less than 2 hours to make the 3 kilometers, go home, and certain of getting something to eat because you don't even know, you're not sure. So at times you get home and the only thing that is there is food to prepare, not prepared food, okay? So you'll have to go fetch some firewood along the fence and come lit a fire and, you know, put things together and make that food. And we used to cook, you know, sometimes it's we would cook kales very fast because it will fry very, very fast, sorry. And ugali is a bread made of maize flour, or you call it corn flour. So after these, you'll have to eat it while it's hot, then have a glass of water and run back to school. So the question is, while I'm running back to school, do you think what I ate will stay in my stomach until 4 o'clock because I have to go back home again 4 o'clock? I don't have no cent to buy even a small banana, you know, to supplement what I've eaten while I'm in class. And when you arrive at school, you have the teachers waiting. Sometimes their salaries are delayed. Sometimes they have their own problem. They've cycled also long distance. Some of them cycling almost 10 kilometers away to come to teach, right? So they also have their own problems and sufferings. And you really know, we are human in nature. So sometimes you want to lay all those burdens onto someone else. So you can imagine the kind of scenario and the kind of class we were in. But, and mark my word, this is the most important part of it. We never complained. We ran on sand, on dust, on mud, barefooted, 3 kilometers to school, 3 kilometers back home, thrice in a day. Because morning you have to do that. Afternoon you have to do that for your lunch break. Evening you have to do that when you are going back home. So we had to cover at least 12 kilometers in a day, either running or walking. It depends with which situation you are in. Sometimes the rains come, you are along the way, there's nowhere you can hide, there's nowhere you can take a shade, so you have to be rained on for maybe a kilometer or 500 meters before you'll get somewhere to get shade. So I basically don't see why people should complain. What I think people should do with life is to get the best way of dealing with the circumstances you are in. Your situation should invite something in you that will catalyze happiness. You know, we were so happy. You would meet us along the way walking with friends, you know, and sometimes, you know, hitting a ball or maybe playing some games along the way. And we were safe, we were happy, barefooted. Sometimes even our pants have patches, you know. It's been patched. You've taken your pants to a tailor more than 100 times and it has got a map of maybe the world or a map of Africa. But we were happy. Nobody complained. Today, our daughters and sons and friends' daughters and sons cannot even go to school without a windbreaker. You know a windbreaker that I'm talking about? Yeah, the small one, the windbreaker, not the long-sleeved sweater, but a windbreaker. If they don't have, they will not go to school. Today, if you don't give a kid a pocket money, and to their satisfaction, not just a pocket money, they will complain. When a kid doesn't have a mobile phone, they will complain. So, in as much as we are embracing this generation, we are embracing the technology and the advancement of technology, there are so many things that we still need to learn from. We need to understand that there's a problem. There's a big problem with this generation, and that's why things are becoming tight, because complaints are too much than innovations. We can't invent. We are there. You know, calculation, we have calculators, we have our mobile phones with us. When somebody asks you, what is polygamy? Instead of you thinking and even, you know, putting it in the worst way possible, but at least trying to explain what it is, people will Google and give you an answer. So how are we learning? We cannot learn. Our brains cannot open. We are stuck. This generation is not something to celebrate as much as we are taking it. There is so much to upgrade within this generation. There are so many things that we need to wake up to. We scored very good grades without cheating in examinations. We worked so hard, tirelessly, because if you think about being the last in your class and you've covered those miles, you won't do it. You'll be there waiting to score your good marks. So my point is, my brother, there is what we need to do to supplement this simple generation that we have. Technology has made it very simple. Technology has done so much to make this generation be brighter than the generation before. A dictionary, you see this book called Dictionary. I saw it first in my 8th class. And that was donated, I don't remember so well, but I was back in Inungo Primary where I saw my first dictionary, and it was donated, so we were being given the Oxford, the small Oxford dictionary. I think it was the 5th edition or the 3rd or 4th edition, I'm not so sure. But that's the first time we saw a dictionary. And when those dictionaries were given, those who were with me in that class remember, can remind you that we used to make 10 sentences every day with a new vocabulary you learned from a storybook, and you checked its meaning from the dictionary, and you memorized it to use it until the last time you leave school. And if you just went to the dictionary and picked a sentence and wrote it down, Elisha could just come. Mr. Kasindi would just come and call you and tell you, give me one sentence using this word. He has grabbed it from the words, the sentences you made. So he is coming to see whether you understood what you wrote or you grabbed it from somewhere. And it made us what we are today. It made us learn a language that is not ours. We bought it. But today we are celebrating because of having it. So the best thing to understand is, like, we need not to complain, but we need to get innovative ways to overtake the circumstances that we are in, to remain happy. Because life is all about happiness. It's not about success. Let me tell you, there are those who have succeeded. Your eyes can tell that they have succeeded, but those people are never happy. Your eyes will tell, your mind, your thoughts will admire that, I wish I'm like John. I'm telling you, John is not happy. Success and good life is happiness. When you're happy and you're loving it, that's when you have succeeded. But if you're not happy, even with billions of money in bank account, it's never success. So get your happiness, get what makes you happy. That's all. Thank you so much for choosing One Talk Podcast and listening to today's message. I hope you subscribe not to miss any episode that comes each and every week. We'll drop it right here to inspire not only you, but the world over. One talk, the world unites.